Pandemics, a business opportunity. Commentary. Relax for a few minutes, sit back, and pretend morals and business ethics are redundant. Then imagine an infallible, risk-free business scheme in which you get to create the market, decide the product, manage its regulation, then have the power to confine people to their homes or remove their income until they submit to buying it. And no one can sue you or take you to court if it all goes wrong. No legitimate government would allow that within its borders, so aim higher and make this international, as it then ceases to be fantasy. All this is being negotiated within the WHO pandemic documents to be agreed by your government in 2 months' time. So, imagine. Your organization will be a public-private partnership, so using taxpayer money but guided by the private sector. You spin a story that a series of plagues are about to engulf humanity, exponentially increasing in frequency and severity. Then use public money to set up a surveillance network guaranteed to find virus variants. Governments have agreed ahead of time to give you power to control healthcare policy when you decide these variants pose a threat. They have agreed that this includes border closures, restrictions on daily life of their citizens, and of course mandated vaccination. Then transfer these virus variants to laboratories and pharmaceutical companies of your choice. The pharmaceutical companies are ready, they have been receiving free billions from taxpayers annually under the same scheme, to keep their production lines ready to profit from the market you are about to create. Your pharma investor sponsors also sponsor disease modelers willing to produce the most fantastic death figures to shore up public compliance. They do this. You then use your powers to impose these lockdowns and insist that a 100-day vaccine must be rushed out to save hapless humanity and allow a return to an interpandemic period. Once your chosen companies rush out the vaccine, you get to control the regulatory bit, bypassing pesky safety trials and those interminable ethics reviews. All the while, you can note any dissenting opinions that may reduce your market size. Your governmental partners having already agreed to deal with them. Once you have the profit flowing, you get to decide when the profiteering can stop. All the while, you have ensured freedom from liability for your pharma partners and your own regulatory process. You, of course, have no liability either, you are above any national jurisdiction. You don't even have to pay tax to anyone. Dream on. You only get to do this if you are in the WHO or the International Pandemic Set, and member states pass the proposed amendments to the International Health Regulations and the new pandemic agreement at the World Health Assembly this May. For this is exactly what they are proposing. It amounts to perhaps the most infallible wealth concentration scheme in history. The general model proved itself during COVID-19, orchestrating the largest wealth transfer on a global scale, from poor to rich, the world has seen. Rather than fiddling around with sanitation, nutrition, and the endemic infections that kill people, international public health is now concentrated on hypothetical but far more profitable stuff like Disease X, amply guided by the corporatists it will benefit. The last big natural pandemic, the Spanish flu, occurred over a century ago in the pre-antibiotic era. The recent COVID-19 pandemic is widely thought to have arisen from just the sort of research being promoted within these WHO pandemic initiatives. The WHO now proposes to increase sharing of viruses considered to be high risk among laboratories that it oversees. This is the same WHO that concluded COVID-19 did not transmit from human to human and may have come from frozen fish rather than the Wuhan Institute of Virology just down the road. It suggested this after sending its team, including a senior scientist involved in funding coronavirus researchers at that same institute, to investigate the problem. Since then, whilst insisting that misinformation kills, WHO has been systematically misinforming the public and their governments regarding the future risk from natural outbreaks. What is the WHO? The WHO is an organization that receives roughly a quarter of its funding from the pharmaceutical industry and major pharmaceutical investors. These same sponsors have profited greatly from the COVID-19 response and are strongly aligned with the WHO's current pandemic preparation and response proposals. The largest country-based funders are the USA and Germany, also heavily invested in pharma. German public money backed BioNTech, the developer of the Pfizer mRNA COVID vaccine. Most of the WHO's funding is specified, meaning that it does what the funder specifies. The WHO has now become a tool of vested interests for much of its work. Approximately 75% of its total funding works this way. This is a completely different type of organization than the WHO of 75 years ago. When originally set up, its budget was based on core funding from countries, and the WHO decided its priorities based on disease burden and country requests. The WHO does not come under any national legal jurisdiction. Senior WHO staff have diplomatic immunity. The organization is highly hierarchical, with a military-like structure that tightly controls outputs and messaging. Staff have tax-free salaries and benefits such as an education allowance until their children are adults, health insurance, living allowances, and they travel business class on longer trips. After retiring on a generous pension scheme, former staff commonly supplement this through consultancies arranged by their friends still within the organization. Its largest office is in Geneva, Switzerland, one of the most expensive cities on Earth. How will the new outbreak business be developed? The proposed legally binding pandemic agreement and IHR amendments are designed to work together. Having two parallel documents has allowed the WHO Director General to repeatedly claim that the pandemic agreement does not hand any power to the WHO, and anyone who says so is a liar and conspiracy theorist. A group of former country leaders and public health people debased themselves recently by publishing a letter saying the same. The clauses that they say don't exist in the pandemic agreement do exist, of course, in the proposed IHR amendments. The pandemic agreement says the two documents are compatible. If you think this is all fanciful and such powers would only be used in dire circumstances, recall that the WHO Director General declared MPOX a public health emergency of international concern. This was declared after just 5 deaths, with transmission essentially restricted to a small demographic, against the advice of his own advisory committee. Remember also that COVID-19 was rarely fatal beyond the elderly and very sick, and the CDC showed the COVID vaccines were less effective than natural immunity. This did not stop the WHO running the COVAX campaign to vaccinate 75% of Africans in the knowledge that 50% of this population was under 20 years of age, less than 1% over 75 years, and the vast majority had immunity to COVID-19. The vaccines were also aimed against variants that were already rare or extinct. The vaccines that the WHO will mandate are planned to include mRNA vaccines produced within 100 days by SAPI. mRNA vaccines are modified genetic material in a lipid envelope. Biodistribution studies from Pfizer/BioNTech indicate that they are expected to concentrate in the ovaries, adrenal glands, liver, and spleen, as well as the injection site, and are also distributed throughout the body, including the nervous system. After entering cells, these cells produce the foreign protein coded by the mRNA, which is then expressed on the surface of the cell and circulates within the body. The body then mounts an immune to this protein, killing the cells that express it and causing local inflammation, also creating a low-level inflammatory response. This is how mRNA vaccines work. SAPI, a key player running the rushed vaccine effort, is a public-private partnership set up at the World Economic Forum in 2017 by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, and a number of countries. SAPI was specifically set up to make vaccines and similar products for pandemics at a time when the world had gone 100 years without one, the last major pandemic having been the pre-antibiotic-era Spanish flu. Why it can work? Money, in large amounts, is really good for helping people to understand that wrong might be better than right. It also helps those who don't care at all about right or truth to rise to the top despite their obvious unfitness. It allows the media to survive if they please these sponsors, and it can help country delegates to find more important priorities than the good of their own people. during COVID-19, the industry pushing the new WHO initiatives made an unprecedented amount of money, so the pandemic agenda has lots of momentum. Thousands of well-paid staff are already becoming dependent on this scheme within the WHO, other public-private partnerships, and the research and humanitarian industries. They have mortgages, healthcare costs, education, and travel benefits to maintain. This is largely why, despite being able to work out that this massive resource diversion will increase poverty, reduce life expectancy, and abrogate public health ethics, they find themselves able to support it. For most of the rest of humanity, those not heavily invested in pharma or software and those concerned about human rights, the future does not look so rosy. We are supposed to provide the money that ends up in the hands of the people running it all. That is how profiteering works. So we will have to put things right, because they obviously won't. Now that it is all written out for us in the WHO documents and we are aware of the money transfers of the past few years, we no longer have any excuse to ignore it. Notes. Read the amendments to the IHR here. An annotated summary can be found here. Read the pandemic agreement here. From the Brownstone Institute.